lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 147, stanzas 1 and 2. O save me by thy name, and judge me in thy might. O God, now grant my urgent claim, acceptance in thy sight. 1 and 2 of Psalter 147.
Further, we wish to read out of God's holy and precious word, out of the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 14 up to and including verse 56. 14 to 56. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves, for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in a temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard it out of thy holy word even in these moments. The ignorance of thy own disciples, they knew not what was taking place. All about them, though thou didst say it unto them beforehand. So much ignorance, and yet they love thee. So much strength of themselves in themselves, and yet they love thee. They slept, they denied thee, they forsook thee, and yet they love thee. And thou hast given that testimony to us and our children. And thou knowest all that lives in the heart of thy people, that they do ask continually, Do I love thee? Can it now be consistent with my life and with all the lack that is within me? And yet thou showest it in thy holy word. For thy servant did write not that we loved him, but that he loved us, and gave himself to be a propitiation for our sins. And this we may consider and commemorate in these weeks, that it may be for the strength of thy people. For thou knowest amidst all the turmoil of the time where that they do exist, where their secret place is, and what is the trouble of their heart. Oh, that thou mayest increase their number, and that thou mayest also feed them, for they cannot uphold themselves in that life that thou hast given unto them. And thou art the Alpha, Thou must also be the Omega. Thou hast begun it, Lord. Thou must also finish it. Wilt thou show it unto them and grant them that blessed dependence, even as a little child? For thou sayest, except ye become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that suffering that thou hast suffered could not be borne by thy church, then it was necessary that thou didst go alone, and therefore thou didst dismiss thy disciples. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. And then they forsook thee and fled. They were not able to endure it. And though thou hadst also our same human nature, with all the fears and the terrors of that human nature, yet thou didst not turn back, but thou hast given thy cheek to the smiters, and thy beard to them that did pluck off the hair. O, give to us a deep impression what thou hast done for thy church, that we may be given that deep realization of our own sin and guilt, and that we could not do without a surety and without a mediator for our poor soul. Show to us a little of thy justice, and that we may be brought in the right place before thee, but that we may not be crushed by it, that thou mayest open unto us much of thy mercy and of thy grace, which is as wide as the ocean. Give thy children to behold thy love, that their heart may go out after thee for the first or by renewal. Awaken thy bride, who lay such so often upon a bed of sloth, that thou wouldst put in thy hand by the hole of the door, and give her to rise up once again, that she may seek her beloved, and that that great work which thou hast accomplished, and may be for thy glory, beginning here already in this world, that there may be a people who may eat and may be satisfied. Give that it may be in the heart and life of each and every one of us with our children. For thou knowest that by nature we have no need for thee, no desire for thee. There is no place for thy suffering. We do not feel and know our debt. We believe not that we shall die and appear at thy judgment seat. We are as those that do sleep upon the top of a mast. O Lord, wilt thou awaken us in the danger wherein that we are, in the death wherein we sleep, and wilt thou grant us a cry unto the Lord of Sabaoth, that we could not continue in our former life, but that we might have to flee for the sake of our life, for this city is to be destroyed. Oh, that our treasure may be in heaven, where that thou art, where thou dwellest in thy glory, in thy great majesty. Look upon us in all the needs and cares of this life. Then it has been as we have just spoken in the consistory, and now a year ago, that we have met as an entire congregation. O Lord, thou knowest all that is upon us. We beseech thee, and that thou wouldst yet lift up thy hand from off of us. Could it please thee to bring us at thy footstool, and to remember us in thy mercy, that there may be a little instruction in it for us, that there may be a little leading in it. And wilt thou care for those that make decisions on our behalf? Give them wisdom. Give them strength. Give them courage. Give them the fear of thy name. Give us obedience. Show us thy way in all things. Draw our hearts, O Lord. Then we will run after thee. Remember all those that are afflicted, those that have lost loved ones. And wilt thou, as the only comforter, show thyself. And be thou a strength unto those who are weak, the father that cannot do his labors, the mother that has long been upon her bed. Oh, that thou mayest look upon them together and all the afflicted. And wilt thou care for each and every one in their own trial? And wilt thou care for all those that bring thy word? Those that there may be also a time coming that we might meet again as classes, synods, and a curatorium, that thou mayest yet send men into thy service also amongst us and upon the mission fields. Be with us also in this hour. Wilt thou strengthen us for our labors? Wilt thou open thy word? Give wisdom, discretion, and opening, both in the bringing and also in the hearing, in thy indispensable blessing, in the forgiveness of all of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 184, stanzas 3 and 8. The foes who hate me unprovoked are strong and still increase. Though to disarm their enmity, my right I yield for peace. 3 and 8 of Psalter 184. meditation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you from Matthew 26 and there of the first part of the 50th verse. Matthew 26 and verse 50, in the first part where we read, "And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come?" So far the words of our text. Judas interrogated at the apprehension of Jesus. First, a searching question. "And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Second, a missing answer. Judas interrogated at the apprehension of Jesus, first a searching question, and second, a missing answer. "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" That is, congregation, a searching question. It is not a question about visible actions, about things which can be seen. No, it is about things which are not seen. It is a question about motive. It is a question about what is living within the heart of a person. Do we ever think about our motives? Do we ask ourselves, young people, sometimes for this and that in this world? Why do I do this? Why do I do that? And then especially in a religious way, and then we know that the Lord, he looketh upon the heart. The Lord is one who searcheth, and he trieth the heart and the reins. "Friend," the Lord Jesus said to Judas, "wherefore art thou come?" Friend, who is this man that the Lord Jesus is addressing as friend? Well, we read that Judas, he forthwith came unto Jesus. That was very common for Judas. Judas was one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. He has come unto the Lord Jesus very often. He was called by Christ. And so each and every day he came to him. He ate with him. He was in his company. He had questions for him. He spoke with him. And again we read here that he came. He came to Jesus as very often before. And he salutes him. He says, "Hail, Master," and he gives him a kiss. That is a token of friendship, and that is a token of allegiance. "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Why does the Lord Jesus ask Judas this question? Does the Lord Jesus not know why that Judas is come? Yes, he knows. He does not need to ask him in order that he may be informed. Jesus knows why each and every one of us do all the things that we do each and every day. There is nothing that is hid from the Lord. He knows our secret thoughts. The darkness and the light, they are both alike to him. The Lord Jesus also knew why Judas did what he was doing. He knew wherefore that Judas came, even despite his honorable salute, even despite his friendly kiss. He knew. He knew the enmity. He knew the envy, the malice that was living in his heart. and he knew the purpose for which he came, that he might betray him. How do we know the Lord Jesus knew this? The Lord Jesus has spoken of this long before. You can read that already when the Lord Jesus was teaching the multitude. John explains that in John chapter 6. And that whole multitude had come around the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus said to that multitude, "That is not enough that you come to listen to me. No, you need more than this." He said, "You need to eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and you need to drink his blood. Something has to happen in your life. You need to experience something in your life." There are many that did not like this. The words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, "Does this offend you? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. But some of you do not believe." And then we can read that he said, "For he knew that Judas would betray him." And he left him then. His followers. And then he looks at his disciples and he says to them, "Will ye also go away?" And what do they say? Oh, then Peter, he will speak for all of the rest of the disciples. He says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." That is what Peter thought was in the heart of all the disciples. He thought he could speak about all of them, for all of them. And then the Lord Jesus said to him, Peter, you cannot speak for all. Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil? Friend, wherefore art thou come? No. He did not need an answer from Judas. The Lord Jesus was fully aware of all that was coming upon him. He was fully aware also that the suffering that he would experience would be the suffering of a betrayal. It is one thing when the enemy will take us. It is another thing when we are betrayed by one of our friends. That must be an awful thing. Did that ever happen to you? What an awful thing that must be for a person to experience, that his own friend, one that sat with him at the table, and especially a friend in whom he trusted. Thus trust that is violated in a betrayal. That is what David experienced. He wrote about that in the Psalms. He said, "Mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, he had lifted up his heel against me." Did David experience that? He did. Oh, Ahithophel. That man whose word, whose mouth, whose sayings was as the oracle of God. And he was in the company and the counsel of David. And then when the enemy approached and would like to put a dagger through the heart of David, then he experienced what it was to be betrayed. He had trusted in that man. That was not the same as with Christ. It could not be exactly the same because Christ never trusted Judas. He has known Judas even in that moment that he has called him to be his disciple. And yet, Judas was one that did eat at his table. He had eaten with him even that same night that Holy Supper. And that night, the Lord Jesus had said to them, that one of you that does eat bread with me shall betray me. And the rest of those disciples, they look about them. The rest of those disciples do not know who this is. Judas has hid it from them. He was wily. He was crafty. They even trusted him with the bag. But he could not hide it from Jesus. No, we cannot hide anything from him, because he sees through the cloak that we put upon ourselves, that is in the face of men. But he is looking and searching our heart. Friend, wherefore art thou come? No, Jesus does not need Judas to tell him. And yet he asks him. Why does he ask him? Oh, how long suffering is Christ? Then he does it not for his own sake, but he does it yet one more time, as it were, for the sake of this man. He asks him one more time. He will, as it were, give him one more opportunity. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Friend, look for a moment once, oh, that it may bring you to a true confession, to a true repentance. He directs him, oh friend, search your heart. But he receives, in our second thought, no answer. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Is it any wonder that he has no answer from Judas? What would be our answer? What does the Bible say? Job writes that when God will contend with a man, when God will come to question a man, when God will bring a man into judgment, he's not going to have an answer. Not to one question. When the Lord will ask us 1,000 questions, then we will not have one answer to all of those questions. When there is guilt, you know that, children? When there is guilt, and you have done wrong, and your mother, your father, they ask you questions. Oh, then you do not want to give an answer, do you? Then that answer is so very difficult. Our heart accuses us. Do we know that also before the Lord? Does the Word of God ever accuse us? Oh, if Christ would not answer for his church as the surety for his church, if he would not stand and answer for them, what will they say? What will they say on that great day of days? What have they to say today? Because when the Lord contends with his children, when the Lord brings their guilt home to them, and they have nothing to say? No. Then their mouth is closed. Then they need a mediator. Then they need a surety. Oh, if Judas had only considered. But Judas cannot consider anymore. Why? Oh, it is too late. Judas, he is given over now. Judas is given over now into the hands of the devil. Satan has entered into this man. Thus Judas becomes possessed. He is possessed of the devil. The devil, the Lord Jesus says, is the strong man armed. He keeps his palace. He enters into that heart, and then he possesses that heart. He takes control of that heart. And thus we read of Judas that he enters into him. You say the Lord Jesus, he is able to cast that devil out. He is. He is. And yet he doesn't. Must he? Is he obliged? No. Man, he has sinned. Man has left God. Mercy is no obligation of the Lord. No, mercy is freely given from the Lord. And then he is free to take one, and he is free to let another go. Even as a Judas who desired to go in his own way. Was that then immediately that the devil he has so entered into this man? Oh no. We do not read that immediately Judas, he is ready to betray the Lord Jesus. Because the devil he is working by degrees. So this is something that has been growing. This is not something that is taking place just in one moment. Thus we heard already from John 6. And then it was most likely Judas who there was mumbling. And the Lord Jesus warns him there, but he does not point him out. And when others they have left, Judas, he is not yet leaving the Lord Jesus and the disciples. No, the scriptures must be fulfilled. But we have heard of the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary. And why did she anoint him? She anointed him, we have heard, for his burial. And then is Judas. And then Judas, he is looking, he is watching. And then in his heart, then he says, what a waste. What a waste. That ointment might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. This is what is living in the heart of Judas. What? The desire to help the poor, if only it may be so. But he was a robber of the poor. So John says this, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but that he had kept the bag. He bare what was in the bag, and he was a thief. He was a thief. What did he love, children, young people? Money. He loved this world. He loved a good life in this world. He liked to have more of this world. And it did not matter to him whether he gained that in a right way or an evil way. No, he was even ready to take that money away from the poor, that he may have it and spend it for himself. Judas, he was a thief. And then even this money, this ointment, oh, Judas would like to have his hands on this money. And now Jesus defends her. We heard that. He defends her because he is a defense. He is a shield. Was he ever a shield for you? No. Then you are not one of those poor. Then you can defend yourself. But it is the poor and the needy. And then he is placing his shield around that people. And so that was when the accusations, the arrows, are flying from Judas upon that woman. And the Lord Jesus, he is coming, as it were, in between, that she has not to give an answer for herself, no. But the Lord Jesus will answer for that woman against all the strikes that are coming against her from that enemy. And Judas resents it. He resents it when he is corrected. When this woman, this poor woman, is defended by the Lord Jesus. He is offended. He cannot bear the rebuke. He cannot bear a rebuke like the other disciples. They have borne rebuke. Just listen to how the Lord Jesus has rebuked them by times. And yet it was never the same as it was here in Judas. There in that house of Simon, there in that house, there is a turning point in the life of Judas. Oh, he never had a change of heart. Everything he did was only outward. But now in that house, there comes a turning point. In that house, Judas, he finally says, I have had enough. Finally, Judas says, I do not want to have anything more to do with this man. That is an awful thing. Apostasy. The heart of Judas slowly on. When we walk in the ways of sin, slowly on, then the heart that is becoming harder and harder. Until the enmity that is not able to contain itself anymore in that life of Judas. Judas is going to get his money anyway. And at the same time, he is going to get revenge upon Christ. He leaves that house of Simon. And he goes to the enemy. He goes to the Pharisees. He goes to the scribes. He goes to those who hate Christ. He says, what will you give me? And I will deliver him up unto you. He makes a covenant. Covenant and agreement with the enemy of Christ. 30 pieces of silver. The price of a slave. Oh, step by step. Frightening. Judas is descending. He is descending into that eternal pit. Not all at once. No, by degrees. And as he proceeds, his heart that is becoming harder and harder, like a stone, until he cannot go back anymore. We read, and from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Oh, how far. A man has not gone. A member, we would say, of the church who is seeking opportunity to sin. That is not the same as to fall into sin. When we stumble, as it were, upon it in a moment, no, that is to lay upon our bed. That is to contrive in our mind. That is to let it go round and round in order that we may find a way, that we may walk in, that we may commit sin. How far a man has been left when it comes to this place of Judas, that from that time he sought opportunity. You ever seek opportunity, young people? You ever seek opportunity to sin? There, circumstances put them into place. He sought opportunity to betray him. Judas, he receives warnings. So he was warned. Yes, he was warned. And now the Lord increases the warnings in the life of this man more and more openly as his heart continues to harden more and more. Then the warnings, they also become more and more serious. They become more and more open. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, one of you shall betray me. Who? No, his name is spared from the rest of the disciples. But at that point, Judas knew that Jesus knew. There was no question in the mind of Judas at that point anymore that Christ knew what he was doing. Hidden from all the rest of the disciples, when the Lord Jesus spoke, then that word that has entered into Judas, seriously warning him, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas knew. He knew of whom he spake, and no impression, no trembling. When Christ had said to him, it would have been better, Judas, had you never existed in this world. That is now the punishment that will be coming upon you. And that man does not flinch. You would say, how is it possible? What is a man in this world capable of? And yet, he does not want it yet to be shown unto the other disciples. Yet Judas is still trying to hide from Peter and John and James and so on. Lord, is it I? Hypocrisy, finally. He receives the sop. He is revealed to John, to Peter, and then Satan enters into him. And when Satan enters into him and he becomes completely possessed, then he goes out, we read. And then John writes, it was night. It was night. What a night that it was in that heart of Judas. Pitch black. The shadows of that eternal darkness, they are already falling in that life of Judas. Friend, wherefore art thou come? No answer. Or he cannot answer, because he has come, because he has never loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite his religion, despite his office, no answer. Why? He has come because actually he hates him. Because he has decided that he's had enough. That he has decided that because Christ will take away from him all the enjoyment that he loves in this world, if that's now what he has to leave in order to be a follower of him, then he wants nothing to do with it anymore. Oh, he is come because there is no turning back. He has come because he is driven. He is driven by the devil. He has made a covenant. He has made a covenant with hell. He has come because he has persecuted the poor and the needy in this life. And now the curse is cleaving unto him as a garment. That's what was prophesied of him already long ago by David in Psalm 109. We will sing that for a moment, Psalter 300. Psalter 300, stanzas 4 and 5. Since love appeals to him in vain, the slave of sin, let him remain. Against him, let his foe be turned, his sin be judged, his prayer be spurned. 4 and 5 of Psalter 300. Had no answer. But by way of application, then we must turn away from Judas and we must turn into ourselves. Do we have an answer unto this question? Friend, wherefore art thou come? What does it mean to come? The Lord Jesus says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Suffer, he says, the little children to come unto me. Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. Coming unto Christ. That is so important. That is so necessary. There can be no salvation for our poor soul unless a soul does come unto Christ. How does a man come? There is an outward coming. There is an outward coming to God's house. There is an outward coming upon our knees. There is an outward coming in our reading that is done by all that have any form of religion. But then there is also an inward coming. There is the inward coming of the soul. And that is now the coming that is so necessary. That is the coming of that publican when he came up to the house of God and he stood afar off and he came unto Christ. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Why is the question so necessary? It is so necessary because there is so much coming that is not that necessary coming. We can bend our knees. We can come to God's house. We can read the Word of God. We can come and go from the place of the holy all our life long and never come unto Christ. Thus the Lord Jesus will have us to examine what is going on in our heart. He will have us to examine our motives. Wherefore comest thou? And there are people who say you may not do that. You may not ask yourself such questions because then you just doubt yourself. And they say that is sinful. But it is not sinful. That is not to doubt God. That is not to doubt Christ. That is not to doubt that he will do as he says he will do. But it is simply to ask, is it right with me? It is simply to ask, do I come in that right way? And this examination, this self-examination, that is not sinful, no, just the opposite. That is commanded by the Lord. Friend, wherefore art thou come? This question of Christ is a distinguishing question. It is a question which is taking forth the precious from the vile. It is the question that made a great separation between Judas and the rest of the apostles. Judas had no answer. What is our answer? What would we say to this question? Why do we come to church? Why do we bend our knees? Why do we read the Holy Scriptures? Then it can be that we say to ourselves, I've actually never much thought about it. I think I do that just because I was taught to do that from my youth on. And so I continue to do that because I was taught that is a good custom. And you are right. Oh, there are some others for whom it goes a little further. And then they see and they feel their needs for this life. Then a man says, I cannot provide myself with food and drink and existence. Then a man says, God alone can give us the continuance of our life. That is right. Then it is right to acknowledge Him, to gather in a prayer day, that we may ask of Him for all these outward things. But do you know what the Lord Jesus said to the multitude when they were gathered around Him? He says, you seek me, but for the wrong reason. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, not because you believe that I am the Son of God, but you seek me because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And so you want these temporal blessings, and you want me to sit upon the throne of Israel, because that would be very advantageous for you. If the king, he could be sure that always there was bread and that there was never an enemy and so on. Or it is God. It is God that is providing for this world, for all His creatures. But this is now not the first part of the work of Christ, even for His own church. Friend, wherefore art thou come? We read of the Pharisee. He came in prayer. He said, Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Why did he come? Oh, then he wanted to be approved. All the things that he did in his life, Lord, give me thy approval on it. Rich young ruler, same. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Pharisees came too. Let us see if we can trap him in his words. Judas, why did he come? To betray, looking for an opportunity. The church will not be a stranger of such betrayals. The Lord Jesus has warned at that time. He said there is coming a time that the brother is going to betray his own brother. The father is going to betray his own son. And the son is going to betray his father and his mother, and he is going to cause them to be put to death. Oh, when we see what is happening, we see this Bill 6, then it can be very real, congregation. The time does not need to be so very far away anymore. We see it approaching unto us. So that in order for our government to enforce such a thing, that there will be a dependence on the betrayal of one another. Oh, what kind of time, what kind of persecution is before us and our children, when we will not be able, because of the truth, to go along with the laws of this land, because we must actually teach something that is against the Word of God. To say that something which is sin is not sin. And when we are required to do this, then it will be necessary for us to disobey. And then will come the time that we also will have to endure the persecutions that the Lord has said will be coming in the end of this world. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Oh, there is so much urging in our days. Men, come, come, come unto Christ. Is it necessary? Yes. Very necessary. You know what is missing? Wherefore? Wherefore? How many people in this world are not deceived, so deceived in this way? Who do say, I have come unto Christ, and they have no idea wherefore. What is now the difference with that true church of God? They know the answer to this question. Every one of that people, they know the answer to this question. When Bartimaeus was brought unto Christ, when he drew near unto him, then we hear the Lord Jesus, and he is asking him, Bartimaeus, wherefore art thou come? What is it that thou wilt have me to do unto thee? What is it? Did he have an answer, children? He had an answer. He knew why he came. You know what he said? Oh, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And now we ask you, are there those that so come to church? Prayer. You open your Bible and you say, oh, Lord, that I may now receive my sight, because, Lord, I'm so blind. I cannot see. I do not understand. I am so ignorant. I am ignorant in thy ways. I do not know the meaning of thy holy word. How often do you not read in the Psalms how that the psalmists are beseeching the Lord? They say, Lord, teach me. Oh, Lord, lead me into thy truth. The disciples, they came to Christ. What did they say? Oh, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. They came to him. Then he would say to them, friends, wherefore art thou come? They said, Lord, show us the meaning of that parable, because there is something in there that is so beautiful, and we wish to see and to know what it means. But we are so ignorant, and we cannot understand it. Friend, wherefore art thou come? That is a people who need Christ in his prophetical office. In his prophetical office, then he instructed. That is now so often that first office, and that people are feeling that need for. And then they have an answer always to that question of Christ. Wherefore art thou come, O people? Why are you on your knees? What is now that sigh? What is now that cry that is going up out of your heart when you take that word upon your lap? And when you are looking in this morning and evening, what is it now that I can do for you? Oh, then that people, they say, oh, Lord, open thou the heavens. Wilt thou give light in my darkness, that I may be able to see, that I might know who I am, that I might know who thou art? Oh, he has also a kingly office. Oh, the disciples, they so looked forward to him in that kingly office, because then he would reign. And so that is often also in the life of that young church, that they are looking because they have a desire in that first and new life, that they may walk in all things according to that will of God. Then they say, Lord, teach me thy statutes, that I might learn and know how to walk in thy ways. Keep thy servant back also from presumptuous sins, that they would not have dominion over me. Oh, then they desire that he would be king in their life. And later on also, especially when they experience and see that they are like that sheep that is leaving him days without number. Oh, that is forsaking him, that is wandering in their own ways. And then they are beseeching the Lord that he would come again and bring them back in that right way. But congregation, what is now that office that Christ is ready to fulfill here when Judas approaches him? That is not the prophetic or the kingly alone. No, but now we speak especially about that priestly office. The priestly office of Christ is not the first office often to be sought in the life of that people, because there were so many things that the disciples did not yet comprehend about the priestly office of Christ. They looked for instruction. They looked for him to become king. But that priestly office, all that they needed yet to be instructed in the necessity of that office and his fulfilling of that office. Peter said, I am ready to die with thee. Oh, says Christ, you are ready to die with me tonight before the morning comes. Three times you are going to say that you do not even know who I am. And now Peter must be instructed in the necessity of that priestly office of Christ. No, then the people are not such a strong people anymore. Then the people are not such a godly people anymore. And then it becomes a wonder in their life that Christ, he has died for the ungodly. When that sick of the palsy, man sick of the palsy, he was brought unto Jesus. And there he lay. There he lay upon his bed. Did the Lord Jesus ask him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? You don't read that. You didn't need to either, did he? Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. That is now the work of that priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there then something in your heart that says, oh, that I may receive the benefits out of that priestly office of Christ? That is the reason that the publican came into the temple of the Lord. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Friend, wherefore art thou come? The true church knows why that they draw near to that Savior, because when the Lord, He is opening the smallest part of Him to show who He is, oh, then they for the first time, then they begin to see His beauty and their need for Him. Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. Friend, wherefore art Thou come? O Lord, mercy is my only hope. Mercy is my only plea. Therefore I am come. Today shalt Thou be with me in paradise. Congregation, wherefore art Thou come? Christ said, friend, friend, to Judas, possessed of the devil, oh, how long-suffering, how compassionate. Oh, then He is ready for the most wicked to say why that they are come. The hypocrite, he does not know why, because he does not know what to do with Christ as a Savior from sin, but a poor, undone sinner. He knows why, that he needs Him. Friend, wherefore art Thou come? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt Thou bring it home to us, each and every one in a personal way? For we need Thee, but we do not see our need unless Thou wilt open it unto us. How precious then is Thy holy word and the work which Thou hast accomplished upon that cursed tree. O, Thou didst say, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Could it be, Lord? Could it be in this hour? Could it be as we go from this place that we may be given a little examination of ourselves, and that cry for instruction, the cry for leading, the cry for forgiveness, for free and for sovereign grace, may enter, Lord, into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth by the afflicted and the poor people of God, and that they might know that they are heard on high. Hear them, Lord, and wilt Thou hear them, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 140, 1 and 3. God be merciful to me. On Thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion Thou, blot out my transgressions now, wash me, make me pure within, cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. 1 and 3 of 140. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.